In Hebrews 10, we're told to promote love and good works. For years, Elizabeth Elliot has been pointing women to Jesus and challenging them to live a life characterized by love, good deeds, and devotion to God's Word. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, reading again today from my book, Keep a Quiet Heart. God's curriculum is the heading of this section. One day recently, something lit a fuse of anger in someone who then burned me with hot words. I felt sure I didn't deserve this response, but when I ran to God about it, He reminded me of part of a prayer I'd been using lately. Teach me to treat all that comes to me with peace of soul and with firm conviction that your will governs all. Where could that kind of peace come from? Only from God, who gives not as the world gives. Was it His will that I should be burned? Here we must tread softly. His will governs all. In a wrong-filled world, we suffer and cause many a wrong. God is there to heal and comfort and forgive. He who brought blessing to many out of the sin of the jealous brothers against Joseph means this hurt for my ultimate blessing, and, I think, for an increase of love between me and the one who hurt me. Love is very patient, very kind. Love never seeks its own. Love looks to God for His grace to help. Genesis 45:8 says, "It was not you who sent me here, but God." Joseph said this to his brothers, remember? "You meant to do me harm, but God meant to bring good out of it." There's a philosophy of secular education that holds that the student ought to be allowed to assemble his own curriculum according to his own preferences. Few students have a strong basis for making these choices, not knowing how little they know. Ideas of what they need to learn are not only greatly limited, but greatly distorted. What they need is help from those who know more than they do. Mercifully, God does not leave us to choose our own curriculum. His wisdom is perfect. His knowledge embraces not only all worlds, but the individual hearts and minds of each of His loved children. With intimate understanding of our deepest needs and individual capacities, He chooses our curriculum. We need only ask, "Give us this day our daily bread, our daily lessons, our homework." An angry retort from someone may be just the occasion we need in which to learn not only long-suffering and forgiveness, but meekness and gentleness, fruits not born in us, and that's B-O-R-N, not born in us, but born, B-O-R-N-E, only by the Spirit of God. As Amy Carmichael wrote, "A cup brim full of sweetness cannot spill even one drop of bitter water, no matter how suddenly jarred." That bears repeating, doesn't it? Amy Carmichael wrote in her book, If. "A cup brim full of sweetness cannot spill even one drop of bitter water, no matter how suddenly jarred." God's curriculum for all who sincerely want to know Him and do His will always include lessons we wish we could skip. But the more we apply ourselves, the more honestly we can say what the psalmist said, "I, thy servant, will study thy statutes. Thy instruction is my continual delight. I turn to it for counsel. I will run the course set out in thy commandments, for they gladden my heart." God's curriculum. And now another chapter entitled Prayer is Conflict. I don't know whether you may be hearing some background noise in this broadcast, but I'm looking out on a very wild and wintry sea. It's beautiful to watch those crashing breakers pouring over the red rocks, to hear the rain lashing the windows, and earlier this morning, the wind was rattling the drain pipes. My husband tried to fix that by putting some rags around them or something to keep from giving you too much background noise. But if you hear it, just enjoy it, because it is a real winter storm. Prayer is conflict. Prayer is no easy pastime. As I grow old, I find that I'm more conscious than ever of my need to pray. But it seems at the same time to become more of a struggle. It's harder to concentrate, for one thing. I was greatly helped by some private notes that Amy Carmichael had written to her, quote, family, unquote, which means the hundreds of children and their helpers, both Indian and European, in her mission in Donavur, South India, to help them prepare for a special day of prayer. She quoted Paul's letter to the Colossians. I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you. He is referring, at least in part, to the conflict of prayer. The same verse is translated, how greatly I strive, in the Revised Version. How deep is my anxiety, in J.B. Phillips. Each of those different translations illuminates a different facet of the truth embodied in those verses. I love to compare the different translations. Now, here are Amy Carmichael's notes about this question of the conflict of prayer. Her first question, which she asks herself, is, with what did I struggle? Number one, with all that says to me, what is the use of your praying? So many others who know more of prayer than you do are praying. What difference does it make whether you pray or not? Are you sure that the Lord is listening? Of course he is listening to the other prayers, but yours are of such small account. Are you really sure that he is bending his ear to you? Secondly, I struggle with all that suggests that we are asked to give too much time to prayer. There's so much to do. Why set aside so much time just to pray? And number three, I struggle with all that discourages me personally. Perhaps the remembrance of past sin. Perhaps spiritual or physical tiredness. With anything and everything that keeps me back from what occupied St. Paul so often, vital prayer. Then she asks herself this question, what will help me most in this wrestle? Number one, the certain knowledge that our insignificance does not matter at all, for we do not come to the Father in our own name, but in the name of his beloved Son. His ear is always open to that name. Of this we can be certain. Another thing, secondly, that will help me in this wrestle, the certain knowledge that this is Satan's lie. He is much more afraid of our prayer than of our work. This is proved by the immense difficulties we always find when we set ourselves to pray. They are much greater than those we meet when we set ourselves to work. Third, what will help me in this wrestle? Isaiah 44:22 and kindred words with 1 John 1:9, meet all distress about sin. And then in Isaiah 40, 2 Corinthians 12, those verses meet everything that spiritual or physical weariness can do to hinder. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light, meets other difficulties. And the moment we say to our God, thy face, Lord, will I seek, his mighty energies come to the rescue. Greater, far greater is he that is in us than he that is against us. Count on the greatness of God. But are we to go on wrestling to the end? No. There is a point to which we come when, utterly trusting the promise of our Father, we rest our hearts upon him. It is then we are given what St. Paul calls access with confidence. But don't forget that this access is by faith, not by feeling. faith in him, our living Lord. He who says, "Come unto me," does not push us away when we come. As we go on, led by the Holy Spirit, who so kindly helps our infirmities, we find ourselves in 1 John 5, 14 and 15, and lastly in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, that tells us to make our requests known to God. It's good to remember that immediate answer to prayer is not always something seen, but it is always inward peace. Keep a quiet heart. And if the day ends otherwise and we are discouraged, then tell him so. Nothing ashamed of tears upon his feet. And here she is quoting from F.W.H. Meyer's poem, St. Paul. "So to thy presence get me, to reveal it, nothing ashamed of tears upon thy feet." Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. "Yea, my child, I know," he says. But don't settle down into an "it will never be different" attitude. It will be different if only in earnest we follow on to know the Lord.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.